Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Black Tower Podcast, a Wheel of Time podcast. I am one of your tainted up hosts, Andrew, your Bajan Mahal.
And I am the other of your hosts for this evening, your Amon Khan Mahal Daniel.
Yep. Josh is not as always. I mean, he's physically here, but when he's not physically here, as with any of us, he's here with us in spirit. He is currently
can still hear his voice.
Yeah, he is currently doing his best State Farm impression, being a good neighbor to a friend and helping them out with some stuff. And may join us a bit later. I will try to preface it, but he might also just pop in. Who knows? We'll find out. But fun things happened today. Today being the 28th of April, the land teaser dropped. If you haven't already seen it, we have a BTP Reacts video that is already up by the time that you are seeing this publicly, and preferably on Patreon as well, if I've done my job half right. So we'll see how that goes. But if you're watching this and it's fully public on YouTube, that Reacts episode is definitely up for you to go and watch. Yeah, I'm not going to talk anymore about that episode because we talk about it in that episode of that series thing.
Correct.
After you finish watching either that video or another one of our YouTube videos and you're like, hey, I want more Black Tower podcast stuff, make sure you head over to our website, www.blacktowerpod.com, for all of this amazing stuff that you're going to hear in this pre-recorded plug. Did you know that the Black Tower podcast has its very own website? No? Well, then make sure you head on over to www.blacktowerpod.com for even more Black Tower podcast tainty goodness. On our site, you can find all of our social media links conveniently located towards the bottom left. If you're on computer, there are links to the Facebook page, our Twitter, our YouTube, and our Instagram. So you can keep up to date with us by finding all of our social media there. Also on our website, you can find a link to the forums that we have, where we have all kinds of discussions and, as Morshadi has done plenty of times, run naked through the forums. No worries, there's no pictures. We turned off the cameras for that. You can find links to Black Tower Podcast merch, both on New Creations by Jen and from Spreadshirt, where you can find any of our designs that we've ever put out. And you can go and get yourself whatever kind of merchandise you want, be it shirts, glasses, aprons for cooking, bags, hats, buttons, anything that you want, you can find in between the two merch shops that we have. The website also has a very quick and accessible link for our Discord, where you can come and join all of the fantastic tainty discussions that we have in our Discord server. We do have sections for spoiler and non-spoiler content, so you can come and enjoy something for you if you have finished a series, or something for you if you haven't finished a series. Another key feature is our Dragonsworn On Demand section, where you can automatically see the most recent 5 videos from our YouTube that will play on an automatic playlist for you on the website, a quick button to get to our YouTube there as well, and you can just listen to the most recent 5 episodes that we have posted on Podbean. If you're curious about events and things we have coming up, we also have the Black Tower calendar, where you can go and look and see when we generally do our live Patreon recordings, when our episodes go live, and any events and things that we have coming up that we can put on the calendar. A quick link to our Patreon, where you can join and get access to all kinds of different content, including pre-recordings, and depending on the tier, early access to episodes, shout outs, all that kind of fun stuff. And of course, we will update the Patreon whenever we do have the updates ready to go live. We are still working on that. That is coming as of right now. Make sure you head on over to our website, where you can literally get access to anything that we have and we put out.
And then once you finish with blacktowerpod.com, you can also go over and check out some equally amazing but different content from our long time, there you go. We don't have a contract term. Our longtime sponsor of the podcast, the Crystal Barista. There's links to the Crystal Barista's website on our website, as well as a link to the Crystal Barista's website in the show notes or description down below, whether you're watching this or listening to audio, it is there. But of course, you can always go to crystalbarista.com and you can see and look at all the fancy stuff that I'm going to tell you more about in this plug.
All right. Sorry to interrupt whatever you may be watching or listening to, whatever topic we're covering right now, but we absolutely have to take a moment to talk about and thank our friend Josh's better half and the longtime sponsor and supporter of the Black Tower podcast. Of course, this is the Crystal Barista. Whether you seek crystals and minerals and the like for their cleansing, healing, and positive vibes, or you just enjoy them and think they look pretty neat, you can find anything you could possibly want with crystals and minerals here at crystalbarista.com. With everything from individual pieces that can be ordered to monthly subscription boxes, there is something here for absolutely everyone, for every occasion, for whatever you could possibly want. There's no way you can't find something that you would like in her store. On the website crystalbarista.com, you can browse by different categories, including the subscription boxes, minerals and fossils, crystal healing, stone jewelry, all the way to just the raw slabs of whatever may be being sold. And if you're more budget conscious and you want to look at anything that is limited by price, you can look for anything that is from zero to almost $25, $25 to $50, and then anything that may be over $50. Now, if you are a rock hound and you want to get some really good tools to help you in your hounding, the Crystal Barista provides those as well. And you can find those on the same website. It's a very user-friendly website. You can find absolutely anything you need for your rock hounding, mineral, crystal, fossil needs. Now, going through the website, you can also find links to the Crystal Barista's Twitter, the Crystal Barista's Facebook, as well as the Crystal Barista's Instagram, and a couple other things. Make sure you go and follow the Crystal Barista on Twitter at RockPick, RockPick, to get updates as they come out and to be up to date on what exactly is going on with the Crystal Barista. She does like to throw up things on Twitter that may be available for you to get at slightly cheaper prices, but more commonly, you can find that over on the Crystal Barista Facebook. So again, same name on Facebook, RockPick, and you'll be looking for the page that says Crystal Barista, formerly Rock Pick Legend Company. Facebook is a good place for updates for the Crystal Barista. And if you just like to look at pictures and kind of see everything that's going on mixed in with some updates, hit up the Crystal Barista on Instagram. You can find her at the Crystal Barista. Again, that's barista with one R, B-A-R-I-S-T-A, which I think is the only way to spell it. But we all know how much trouble I have with spelling. So make sure you go over and check out what the Crystal Barista has to offer and tell her that the Black Tower podcast sent you.
Before we get into the topic of today's episode, you might be wondering, wow, it seems like you blew through the intro this time. Yeah, it's because we already did the intro and I forgot to click fucking record.
So all of our Patreons heard the entire intro twice.
Yeah.
One of them that Patreons was really good and the other that was this. Acceptable.
Yeah. So without further ado, before we get into the topic, because the what we're going to be talking about, or rather, the who we're going to be talking about of a fictional nature, will have at least mild spoilers towards the beginning, first couple books of the series, and then pretty big spoilers towards the end of the series. That's all some of you need to already know who it is. But we are going to let the familiar and sultry voices of the Wheel of Time audiobooks tell you what you should be worried about.
This episode contains spoilers from the entire Wheel of Time series.
If you have not read the series, you are at risk of being spoiled.
You have been warned.
And you also have another reason to become a patron, because sometimes you get to hear that twice. So, yes, at least we didn't do an entire episode and realize we didn't record it. That would have
That would have hurt.
That would have been terrible. So, Daniel, what's the topic for today? I don't know why I got stuck on W.
Are you not doing the introduction to that?
Huh? I intro'd like us in the episode.
All right, fair enough.
Then we just pick one of the other ones of us to say, oh, what's the topic for today? Which half the time is you, honestly, so...
Fair enough. I will take that. So as many of you know, those of you listening at the moment and those of you listening at home, I don't know why I said that, because again, all of you are actually listening at this moment. It's just different moments for each person. I'm going to keep going. We have regularly gone ahead and done deep dives into certain characters before. Often we have done them into main characters, especially as sort of precursors to the interplay between characters, whether it be relationships between specific characters and their like dating or being in love or whatever, as well as sort of, you know, just general groups of people. But we thought that we would go ahead and do a whole section of characters that just sort of do not get enough love. Characters that are not necessarily main characters, even though their input, their piece of the pie, is actually still incredibly important. And therefore, we want to give them recognition for what they bring to the table. So if you guys have missed them, we have already done episodes on Telmanes and Aludra. And today we are actually talking about one of my favorite characters, Elias Machera.
Every time I see his last name, I don't know why I want to say Manchurian. And I know that's wrong. Isn't that like a movie? Like
he's the Manchurian Wolf brother.
Yeah. I don't know why.
It's one of those things. You just can't get rid of the association in your head. And that's okay.
Elias, for me, has always been the person that gives us very strong mountain man vibes.
I want to live in the mountains. 100%.
I want to cook my shine, because that's what
you do. Dude, Elias Machera is the like best parts of Duck Dynasty and leaving all like the racism shit.
Yeah, that's fair. He just hates human like the beings fucking, in general.
So. Yeah, he just hates everybody. Right. But yeah, the beard, I feel like he absolutely has a very like Duck Dynasty beard. 100% has like a Daniel Boone fucking raccoon cap, fucking running around in like animal skins and being like rough, rough.
So he's like Daniel Boone meets Duck Dynasty meets generic common human decency.
Yeah, no, exactly.
100%. Or at least... truly fair human attitude of
South Park attitude. I just hate you all.
Yeah,
South Park attitude. Yeah. It doesn't matter who you are, we're gonna make fun of you because you're all shit.
Yeah,
we're also shit, just making sure that you know that.
Yeah. So for those of you that don't remember Elias, we first meet him book order wise in the Eye of the World. Chronologically, you first meet him in Chapter 7 of New Spring, and I say you because I still haven't read it. So I met Elias in Eye of the World, and recommendation
so did everybody else.
You meet Elias in Eye of the World. Yeah.
Yes.
Because you shouldn't read New Spring until after Fires of Heaven, lest things be spoiled. But you only see him really for a good part of Eye of the World, and I think you see him in a couple other, like, was it like one or two other books, maybe?
You see him almost every
you see
time
him in Winter's Heart,
Aaron does stuff.
Yeah, because
you see him before that. I don't remember exactly what book it is, but he actually shows up somewhere Perrin is.
He shows up in Gelden and joins Perrin's group. I can't remember what book that is.
I know it's before Winter's Heart.
Because
one that I think I'm in Winter's Heart right now on a reread, and I'm getting through it relatively slow, so this isn't saying that much, but it was like at least a month and a half ago that Elias joined, so I feel like it was book 7 or 8, because I'm going real slow with this real reread, but not that slow.
Yeah. But Elias is kind of one of those, like, you know he's badass, like, very shortly after you first meet him, but you don't really find out how truly badass he actually is until later on when you learn more about Elias and his backstory. So let's start, like all things in the world of Robert Jordan, start with a description of what they look like. So Elias's appearance by book description is considered at least somewhat strange, at least through the eyes of Perrin and Egwene. He stands about 5'10" with uncut graying brown hair tied by a cord and hangs all the way down to his waist. His beard, as most people's facial hair does, matches his hair color because he doesn't dye it. Not there's anything wrong with dyeing it, but he doesn't have to dye his beard as well to make the match. So it would be hilarious to see Elias with like a neon pink like beard.
Mine's definitely a little bit darker than my head hair, but not by much.
That's a little different. My inner ginger.
Yours is a little red.
Yeah, it comes out in the beard.
Your inner Irish comes out in your beard, huh?
Yeah. But he's got a fairly long beard. It is described as fanning across his chest, which basically just means it's kind of like unruly. Like it just kind of grows out. He just lets it grow. And at least goes down, you know, like probably nipple level, if not lower. He clothes himself in a patchwork of animal skins taken from prey that he's killed, and wears generally a flat topped cap on his head that is also made of animal pelt. He's, like we said earlier, very much mountain man.
He's got a raccoon tail coming off the back.
Yeah. Live off the land, you know, self-sufficient, stay off the grid, stay away from people. People are terrible. In fact, people, if you go and look him up,
bastards.
Yeah. If you go onto the what.fandom.com, the first thing you'll see under Elias is a quote of his that says, "Sooner or later, there's always trouble when there's two humans together." We'll get more kind of into that and maybe what that implies about Elias and his status. But he carries a long knife on his belt, which is nearly the length of a short sword. He also travels with a bow and quiver. He has a scar on his jaw that has faded somewhat with his age, meaning he's had it for a while. And we find out later that he gets that from a Saldaean woman named Maria. Miracle. One of those. But something that will definitely tie into what you already know of Perrin is Elias also has a burnished gold hue to his eyes that seem to shine in the darkness because he is, in fact, a wolf brother.
A wolf brother?
Yes.
Indeed.
So he's, in general, like he's a loner. He doesn't like being around people. He doesn't like going into crowded areas. He'll go far out of his way to avoid them. He prefers to just be in the wilderness with the wolf packs that he considers close kin. And if he does have to interact with people, he prefers to do it one-on-one or in very small groups.
Unless they're the traveling people. In which case, he doesn't necessarily love hanging out with them, but he does seem to be okay with an entire camp.
Yeah. but he tries to keep it short. Like, he goes in, generally has a set purpose, whether he's trading for supplies or goods or something like that.
Yeah.
And it becomes very clear early on whenever Elias escorts Perrin and Egwene and they run into the first Tinker camp or Tuathon camp, at least for Perrin and Egwene that they've ever seen, where we meet that fuckstick Arum. But anyway, that's not who we're talking about. That, you know, it's obvious that they know him, at least somewhat well. They've seen him before. They welcome him openly like they do with most people. But it's the Tuathon, very like determined in trying to, they're very evangelical in the methodology of the Way of the Leaf. And you can tell that, like, they still mention it to Elias, but for the most part, they've given up. So that means he's been around quite a bit. And they're just like, yeah, we know what this fuckstick's all about. But
don't you dare. Don't do that. You're not allowed to go ahead and utter that Aram is a fuckstick and then in the same breath call Elias a fuckstick.
I'm not calling
you're not allowed Elias. To, you're not allowed to go ahead and do that.
It's a free fucking country. I'm allowed to do whatever I want within the bounds of the law. But I was saying the Tuathon, whatever their language would be, are calling him a fuckstick because they're like, we already know what you're about. You're not going to change your ways. I was speaking.
You shut up with your American logic.
Yeah, well, it's the only
just because you're right doesn't mean I have to like it.
Just because you're right doesn't mean I have to agree. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the summary of American society and politics.
Pretty much.
Pretty much. But Elias is known as a very honorable man, and you can kind of see that in the way the Tinkers treat Elias when he shows up in the camp. You know, the cast.
The two of them? Looks. The two Tinkers?
Yeah. While they're tinkering their bots. I really want to comment on that joke, but
of course you
I really
do.
Can't.
I know.
Or I'm not supposed to. Elias is considered very honorable, a man that will yes. fight evil wherever it is found. In fact, I believe even in Eye of the World, he kind of goes into a bit, whether by him directly telling, I don't think it's as much him as the Tinkers and all talking about it, and just kind of backstory for Elias that maybe we get as just like kind of third-party narrative or whatever. Hints that whenever he runs around with the wolves, that whenever they see, you know, like rogue bandits or whatever, they kind of Robin Hood them. And, you know, except for they don't just steal what they have, they fucking murder them.
Yeah, I mean, no, they steal what they have. Homicide. They steal their lives.
Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah, it's not as transferable as the Robin Hood stealing the money from the rich and giving it to the poor, because it's really difficult to steal a life from a bandit and give it to somebody they've killed. But it's still the same idea.
With that attitude.
Well, I mean, he's not
just a blood transfusion. You can't just like hook up like a circular tube to him and it just cycles out the dead blood and puts in the live blood. That's not how that works.
Now I'm trying to imagine, and I love the idea of Elias just like going into a bandit camp with a bitch ton of wolves and then just fucking the bandits up and then just spending the next like day and a half just pulling out vital organs and putting them on ice and then just running them to the nearest city and like leaving them on the church doors.
Now I'm just trying to imagine Elias fucking bandits. That's not a knife. This is a knife.
Is that why he's called Longtooth?
I mean, the knife, yes. But it also might refer to another thing he carries that probably spends a lot of time tucked in his belt, too. It's Elias fucks.
Elias fucks. This guy fucks.
Yeah. He saves it up for a while. So that whenever he shows up and they finally do fuck, like probably in a tinker camp, it's like Niagara Falls, and that's why so many people tolerate him.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Like, you that's know why that's why the Tinker's leader's wife doesn't like him very much because he's holding out on her.
Yeah. You know, he might carry a blade, but if you don't learn how to like, you know, relax your throat and swallow, you're gonna drown.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome for that. There's your image. Remember the SpongeBob episode where he has like the worm living in his stomach and they just squirt tartar sauce down his throat?
No, because I actually think that I don't personally like SpongeBob very much.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Black Tower Podcast. We will not be putting out any further episodes. The kind of the first time that we see Elias, excuse me. He comes across Perrin and Egwene after they have been split from the rest of the group at Shadar Logoth, and are all going about their merry ways of we don't know what the fuck we're doing, and Moraine being like, I'm gonna focus on the two that are together and hedge my bets. Like, she would kill in like Vegas, just like,
oh yeah,
smart enough to play like the best odds.
Yeah,
I'd rather save two than just save one. And I need what the fuck? Moraine's just like, you're free to go and, you know, track them down if you can find them. And he's like, nah, I'm going to stay with the big strong man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to break his tower.
Ooh. Keep talking, Dirty. it's the kind of talk Lon likes.
Talk wisdom to me. So,
Shakira.
So I imagine that we might as well, like, since we have full series spoiler warning already out of the way and we've already spoiled some stuff for sure. It's your own fault if you're hearing it and you didn't want to hear it, because we did warn you. So it's in the legal disclaimer whenever you click play on any of our episodes. Very fine print. It's like 0.002 point font. So I guess maybe we should just start with like Elias's actual history rather than where we pick up with him in the books.
Yeah, no, I
want to do that, or do you want to go like in kind of book order and then we'll fill in the gaps later on?
No, again, since we're doing a whole background on him and we know everything at the same time, we should start from the beginning.
Yeah. And we have more Shoddy here now to call us out when we're wrong. So
yes, beautiful. But yeah, so Elias is actually fairly old by the time that we meet him in the Eye of the World, because he was born in the year 943. And as inquiring and intelligent minds know, we start our story in 998. So he is 55 by the time the story starts. He was born in Tyr. He's a farmer's kid. And he ran away 14 years after he was born. So he was a 14-year-old kid running away from home, trying to be an adventurer. And apparently he went to the Borderlands. Good place to find adventure, which it legitimately is. It's a very good place to find adventure. He ends up being a soldier in Shinar and lives an entire life that we really kind of don't know about as a soldier in Shinar. We pick up 6 years after he joins, because he joins as a 16-year-old. 6 years later, he is bonded as a warda by Rena Hafton. She bonds him. I don't know exactly why he decided that was a good idea. I mean, clearly he didn't necessarily know about his wolf brotherness at that point, but I feel like one of two things happens, and it's a little unclear as to which one of them it is. Either Elias just has the personality that all people are shit and that he doesn't really like them very much, and then that just feeds into his, you know, being a wild man, or something happens with, you know, while he is traveling with Rena that makes him that way, or a combination of both.
While he's traveling with renal failure?
Terrible. But yeah, so Rena Halden is actually a sitter of the Green Aja. It's definitely a, I don't know if we ever find out whether she actually had more warders than just Elias, but I'm guessing that since she's green, probably the answer is yes. And I'm guessing that he also liked...
She had Waylon. She had Waylon as a warder as well.
Oh, you're right. You're totally right.
Like Waylon Jennings.
Yes. Wait, that was wrong.
Yeah, it's close enough.
But yeah, so he, I'm guessing that Rena is probably, as most greens, getting that long tooth while she's bonded to him, or while he's bonded to her. Because that seems like a pretty typical green Aja thing to do.
It's part of the training. You get trained in the quarterstaff, and you also get changed as the lethal half in the lethal half inch. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the only person that, you know, the master of the warders has ever seen beat the greatest swordsman in the world was with a quarterstaff.
This is true.
But yeah. So he basically starts out his like second life, if you will, as a warder to Rena. He actually trains with Lon Mandragoran to be a warder, which does definitely suggest that Lon hasn't actually been a warder that long. For some reason in my head, I always had him being a warder longer. But I mean, I know that that's still 30 years, yeah, which is a long time. But
when did you?
For some reason, in my head, I always thought it was 50, yeah, or like something longer.
So,
Rena even though I've read go,
Rena doesn't go to the White Tower until 938 NE, and she gets raised as an Aes Sedai or raised to the Shawl in 955 NE. So it would have been sometime after 955 that Elias is bonded to her as a warder.
It's 965.
Oh, does it? Oh, we have the date?
Yeah, it's.
Oh, yeah, I'm dumb. So, I mean, technically, yeah, I'm still right.
Yeah, no, you are 100% right. It is after that date.
That's what I do best today, is being technically right by omitting several facts. Just leaving them broad and open.
I love it.
It's the exact opposite of how I prefer my broads. I'm editing that out.
I love you, man.
The magic of editing.
Yes. But yes, it was actually at some point after he was bonded a warder that he discovers, this says that he became a wolf brother. I feel like you really find out that you're a wolf brother, not you become one.
Well, it's funny because if you look at Elias's kind of bio here on the fan, watt.fandom.com, it says he became a wolf brother. And if you look on Rena's, it's when he discovered he was a wolf brother. I feel like there's something.
Can't even keep your shit straight. Come on, Wiki.
I figure that there's something. We know that being a wolf brother, a lot like men's ability to see visions of the future and everything, it's not linked to the power or to the one power, correct, the true source, the one source, the true power, whatever you want to call it. Interchangeable four names go. There has to be something that happens that triggers it to develop in you. It almost seems like a mutation of sorts. But it's some external factor that acts upon you that activates that part of your genetic code. I'm not saying that's what it is. I'm saying it seems like,
sure,
if you think about it in that frame of mind, it seems very similar to, if you've watched WandaVision, how Maria Rabeau becomes
Rambo. I think
they're saying that she becomes, huh?
Rambo.
Maria Rambo. I always think Rambo, but I always feel like it's wrong.
No, it's totally right. It's just spelled different than Stallone's.
Yeah. I just always want to call her Photon, but her first iteration is actually Spectrum. So,
correct.
Which, I would prefer she provide my internet connections than the actual company Spectrum, because she's more reliable. But kind of the same way, like, where something awakens it.
Well, yeah, so that's always been my thought on Wolf Brothers in general, which maybe we actually just do a whole episode on Wolf Brothers in general at some point. Quick and dirty is I've always felt like there are, it's like having the ability to learn how to channel. Because just because you have the ability to learn how to channel does not mean that you ever will. There does need to be some outside factor, whether it be an Aes Sedai come to your village and tell you about it and test you, or going to the tower and having an Ashaman discover that you have the ability to learn. The ones in Shan-Chan getting the bracelet on their wrist and finding out that way. Like, all of these are different ways of discovering something that is inherently true, but you wouldn't necessarily know that was true without the testing. You could go your entire life without actually knowing that you have it inside you. And so I feel like in the Wheel of Time world, there are actually a lot of wolf brothers I mean, not like a lot. It's an incredibly small percent.
Not a lot, but just a lot.
Dozens. I feel like there are at least dozens, if not more than that, of Wolf Brothers in the world. It's just that so few of them actually go ahead and have that stimulus of wolves trying to talk to them or finding out that they can do it or meet another Wolf Brother in the case of Perrin, who's like, you can talk to wolves, buddy. You should do cocaine about that.
So, in typical more shoddy fashion, well, I'm going to read it.
No, this is from, you should, but fucking more shoddy.
Yeah, this is from an interview between TOR Questions of the Week Part 2, even though the title for the question says Week 13 Questions. Well, it was Part 2, so maybe it included it. So anyway. The question was about Wolf Brothers. Like, if you get reborn, are Wolf Brothers reborn at another age? Can they be a Wolf Brother again, or will they be?
Yes.
Can women be Wolf Brothers? The answer is yes, of course. They would just typically be called, they'd be called Wolf
Sisters. Pegasister. I mean, Wolf Sisters.
Yeah. But basically, the ultimate question was, is being a Wolf Brother a trait related to the soul? And Robert Jordan essentially says that if it's possible in that age, then yes, they would be reborn as a Wolf Brother or Wolf Sister. However, the ability isn't present in every age. And in the current age or the third age, it's a relatively new thing and it appeared not too long ago. There's like some vague historical tales, I guess, when we call them historical, of people that could supposedly talk to animals, kind of like druids, when you think about druids from like D&D. But it doesn't necessarily mention wolves.
But it does, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to...
But it does...
Go what? Anti-Robert Jordan. But that's literally in his story, he says that the wolves say... Now, again, this is also still oral history. This is like the wolves could be wrong, but like still, he wrote it into the story. Sure, but it says in Robert Jordan wrote it into the story that the wolves say that there hasn't been a Wolf Brother in ages.
Yeah.
But so, that they talk about the fact that there were Wolf Brothers. So again, I mean, like, I'm not saying that, like,
I get the feeling that the wolves have a much better, like, less detailed, but much longer reaching kind of history to them.
Sure. You know,
where they can remember, like, because they don't really have a necessary concept of time. Like, because ever Perrin is talking to the wolves and was like, how many days has it been? They're like, the fuck you mean? And he has to rephrase it, like, how many times has the moon gone up? Or like, has the sun gone up and down since you smelt this scent? So for them, it could seem,
which is
like,
funny because, you know, that's literally just time. It's just that they don't use it in days and hours. They're just like, oh, sun's cool.
Great. Yeah, you know, they don't show up one day and be like, oh, it's nine minutes after noon. I better get ready. It's time to go hunt a rabbit. And then in 3 hours, it's time to go and harass, you know, and bite that mean human in the balls, like.
And then at 8 p.m. Eastern, I have an episode of the Black Tower podcast to record with my friends.
And that'll be the perfect time to get rid of this tick past a hair that I've been using as a sundial. How do we get started? Oh, but yeah, like, it's possible, but apparently it's not something that is in every age.
Yeah, that's an interesting answer.
So it does appear that it is in part tied to the soul, because we know souls are recycled in the Wheel of Time.
And he does say that as long as speaking to wolves,
talk about being environmentally conscious, that goes so far as to recycle the soul. How progressive.
In that age, then yes, it is tied to the soul, and the soul then would be able to do it again.
A soul as long for as a it soul.
Still existed.
They told
They
told Mogideon a soul for his soul, and she was like, cool.
I'm okay with that.
But they were a
pair of shoes. But
So Mogideon, not Grendel.
Hey, Mogedion likes shoes too. Fuck off.
Shoes. Shoes.
Shoes.
Oh my gosh. Shoes. Let's go shopping.
These shoes are $300. These shoes are $300. These shoes are one fucking soul. Let's go.
Oh my gosh. Shoes.
Oh my god. I haven't heard that song in so goddamn long. Yeah. It's amazing. But anyway, we were talking about Elias.
Yeah.
Elias. An eel in the ass.
Well, you don't go swimming in the ocean buck naked.
Wow, we really got off on that tangent entirely from became a wolf brother / discovered he was a wolf brother. Motherfucker.
When your guts start to hurt and your butt starts to bubble, that's a moray eel.
Jesus fucking Christ.
See, yeah, this is the fun thing. Whenever one of us isn't here, it feels like whoever's not here is the one that keeps us on track. But then we do an episode.
Even though it's never not. The person that wasn't here. No, it's absolutely
not. We just take turns trying to keep everybody on track. This is.
We really do.
We're like a controlled dumpster fire.
At yeah. This point. I like it. But so this actually answers my earlier question or my earlier statement in some ways. Apparently. I am going to say with some confidence that given that he discovers that he is a wolf brother when he is a warder and is then subsequently held by the Red Aja, who thinks that he is using the one power.
I don't know if he's ever actually held. Because Rina becomes aware of what's going on and she masks the bond between herself and Elias because Elias runs away after he discovers discovers or becomes a wolf brother, whichever you want to take it. And
well, so he at least gets held for a moment because he accuses some Red Sisters of being members of the Black Aja.
You're right. He's already been accused
into custody. And he ends up escaping and killing a number of warders who are very clearly trying to keep him where he is.
You are right.
I misread
a couple of things. I thought it was like Red Sisters would assume he was a dark friend, but no, Red Sisters already had assumed he was a dark friend.
Yep.
You can talk to wolves, but those are Satan's creatures.
Yeah, not even just a dark one.
Like, really?
Or a dark friend. They actually think that he is a male channeler.
Which that is what makes you a dark friend.
Sure, but it makes you worse than a dark friend. It makes you dangerous. It makes you an atomic bomb dark friend.
You may not be like an intentional dark friend, but you're still a dark friend.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so he ends up going ahead and killing a number of warders in his escape. As you already talked about, Rina does let him go, though he is still technically bonded to her. She and has been
married.
Yeah. She has been masking their bond ever since he left, and I'm guessing strongly that Elias probably does the same. I'm fairly certain that, given that it can go both directions, he is likely has her in the little burlap sack in his brain all the time, always as well.
That's where I like to keep my eyes to die, in the burlap sack in my brain. The doctors say it's a serious medical condition that requires immediate operation. I say, fuck off. You wee bastard.
I say, fuck off, Space Ghost. but apparently, you know, we do learn later on from his conversations with Perrin and things like that, once we figure out who he is and his history, that he does still very much regret going ahead and killing the warders that he had to escape. He also has been afraid of Aes Sedai basically since the time that he escaped, because he's in so many ways terrified that they are going to nab him and bring him back to Rina.
I mean, to be fair.
To be fair.
All of his previous experience indicates that that is a very sane and rational line of thought.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not disagreeing with him even a little bit.
I will find you. We will take you. We will gentle you. And you will end yourself.
See, that would be really interesting.
There's no aftercare for male chandlers. We know that. Well, actually, I think they would try.
Well, no.
How would gentling go if you tried to gentle somebody that actually can't be gentled? Because
exactly. That's what I was about to say. If they're like, and now you are gentled, and he's like, my eyes are still the same color and I can still hear the wolves, you motherfuckers.
You said you'd help me. You didn't do jack shit.
I don't know if gentling actually has other side effects that aren't just, now that we've cut you off from the one power, life feels gray.
That's what a red seems
to be.
That's what a red sitter, which honestly just sounds like somebody on their period that wasn't prepared and just sat down. Poor unfortunate person. I'm not making fun of it. I'm saying it would be horrendous.
You are, but you're right. He's out of line, but he's right.
But the freaking one of the red sitters just comes in and says, we will destroy him and make a peaceful, new, glorious place for our new empire.
Fuck off.
Look, okay, there's not a very long page on Elias. We got to throw in plenty of tangents and bullshit here.
That's fair.
Which is just fun. It's what we do anyway.
Agreed. But yeah, it is interesting.
Black Tower Podcast thinks they're cute. Bitch, we're adorable.
It is interesting that I'm continuing to read, Elias doesn't want to be around Aes Sedai, definitely has a little bit of a jaded like view of Aes Sedai, but it is interesting that when faced with Aes Sedai as apprentices to wise ones, he's like, bruh, you can't do that. What the fuck are you doing? These are fucking sisters. Dude, don't do that. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Man.
Hmm. Elias is like the person that has like the internal knowledge of how dangerous Aes Sedai can be. He's like
I've seen the inner workings of this. Please do not fuck with it.
He's like the internal version of Tom Marilyn minus the nephew, which is kind of actually just the same as Tom because he's minus a nephew.
Oh. Too soon. He has adopted nephews. They are Matt and Rand. Go fuck yourself.
Look, okay. It was several ages ago / 2 ages in the future. All right. We either get ahead of this thing or we get over this thing or we just do both. If you were making jokes about it before it was actually a thing, then how can somebody tell you it was wrong to make jokes of when it didn't even exist?
Wait, no, that means that too soon is the most appropriate response. Because you're making jokes before it happens. Too soon.
That is a fair point. Good point, sir. It's the only time, the wheel of time, the only time that circular logic is acceptable because it makes sense.
Oh, man.
Wheel of time. All right, so now Futurama did it better. No, they didn't, but it's a lot more
not better, but they entertaining
because you can watch it within 30 minutes and not devote weeks, if not months of your time to reading books.
Why would you ever want to not do that?
People have these things called lives and they go out and do stuff.
Ew, stop it. Stop it, you people with those things.
But yeah,
let's go ahead and get into. I mean, we're talking about a couple of things that he goes.
Would you like to get into a wolf brother?
I wouldn't mind getting into a wolf sister.
I'm pretty sure Rena got into a wolf brother.
I'm pretty sure he started carrying a really big fucking knife. Got into her.
Well, yeah, but why do you think he started carrying the big ass fuck off knife? Because he didn't want anyone to get into the wolf brother again.
Wow. I mean, every time Could you imagine? It's one of those things where you're just so in the moment that you don't even notice the finger just going right up there.
Have you seen the video? I know they've done it on TikTok where like they blindfold like their mom and they make her like shove her finger into like a tangerine or something. That's like, they like warm it up or something like that. And then they put like Nutella on her finger. And then whenever they tell her she can like take the blindfold off, they're sitting there holding the cat and holding the cat's tail up. And she thinks she put her finger in the cat's bumhole.
Bunghole. Anyway, before we talk any more about fingers in bums, any more about tickling the taint, let's talk about Elias's actual activities in the book series. There's not that much.
Oh, the ones that are expressly listed, not in between the lines. Or, you know, you could say the events that are in the cracks of the story.
Yes. Exactly. You're reading between the cracks.
Yes.
I need you to read the cracks. Don't spread them. Actually, do spread them because we're on a podcast, so you do want to like spread them.
Yes.
But yeah, so it is fun, as stated,
it is fun. The Wheel of Time companion does claim that Rena may have actually been Elias's wife. They might have actually been married. Yeah. But yeah, for all the reasons we already talked about, Rena stops, doesn't actively look for Elias, and lets him go and mask the bond, and Elias doesn't go back. It doesn't seem like Rena doesn't want him back, but understands why he left and is cool with it. He just generally doesn't like people because people are like shitbags.
Yeah. Well, it's also one of those things where like, if she's his wife, this is completely understandable. If she's just an incredibly close friend, which it seems like a lot of warders and Aes Sedai do at least have that bond, then she knows what awaits Elias if he comes back. She knows that not only will he already have to answer for the warders that he killed in his escape, but also he'll be right back to square one of, well, now we have to figure out what this Wolf Brother stuff is, and many Aes Sedai are assuming that it is, you know, some kind of power ability or, you know, related to the Dark One, depending on who you talk to. And so she's like, if I actually love this guy, even again, whether he's a close friend and I love him as a friend, or I love him as a husband, like, I don't want to put him through that by going and finding where he is and bringing him back to the tower. Like, fuck that shit.
Yeah. So, like you said, actual events that we read in the actual words of the series, after the party splits in Shadar Logoth, Perrin and Egwene are come upon by Elias, who
actually they do technically come upon him
because he allows
but it. Only because he allows it. That's what I was gonna say,
because he literally looks at him and is like, I've been following you for two fucking days, and they're like, stalker.
I mean, he's like, if the girl made any more noise, every Trollocan would fight.
In all honesty, if you're trudging through unfamiliar territory, it's just you and your best friend's girl who is passing you subtle fuck me vibes that aren't incredibly subtle, but still are there. And this
one day you come across. She's passing lonely vibes. Yeah. Very lonely vibes.
Yeah. And you come across this mountain man, and then he's like, I've been following you for 2 days.
You got a pretty mouth, Perrin.
But it leads credence to the idea that the Wolf Brother thing is kind of it's like a latent ability until something happens to interact it, whether it's like interactions with wolves or other Wolf Brothers or people with the ability, whatever the case is, or just age, who knows. But
I'm going to say that it's a mutation in the X gene that goes ahead and starts showing up at puberty, but like it doesn't necessarily happen to everybody at the same time.
But it's that ability that is latent up until this point, at least in Perrin, that attracts Elias to him in terms of Elias interacting with him, though Elias might be attracted to him, who knows.
Giggity.
Yeah. Perrin is struggling with his axe and everything, and that's where we get the infamous Elias advice of keep it until you enjoy using it, and then that's when you should throw it away. Same thing should be said for, like, sex toys. If Perrin and Elias
got together, they'd both be getting into Wolf Brothers.
This is true. Like we've already talked about, they go then in their travels, they go around and they come across a camp of tinkers.
You try to warn them that bad things are coming, but unfortunately the tankers don't listen.
Yeah.
Actually, they do listen. They just have their own plan and are unwilling to.
I mean, during these travels, we also get the semi-infamous ravens and fox scene. Where the ravens keep kamikaze dive bombing the fox and kill the fox. And if you're an animal lover, I've been told that it's a very hard scene to read. Not saying I don't love animals. It's just not hard for me to read. Like I can imagine seeing it would be like nasty, but.
I
grew up with a family that hunted.
The gruesomeness of it, because again, even if you're not an animal lover, like I am an animal lover, but I also understand the circle of life. But like, just the unnecessary nature of just continuing to come down, even after it's dead, and just the horrible maiming that it hurts. It hurts.
Yeah, I'm one of those people that, depending on the day and even the time in the day, sometimes I can watch like the most gruesome videos and not be affected, but there's other days where like it's a barely gruesome video and I'm like, oh. It just kind of depends.
No, that's fair.
But then they are set upon by white cloaks. Elias disappears into the dark and Perrin and Egwene are like, what the fuck? So they hide by some rocks. And then Perrin embraces his inner barbarian, goes berserker mode and kills two white cloaks. Elias is injured during the fight. They don't even... Alexa, stop. I wasn't talking to you. Alexa, stop.
Keep on expecting mine to turn on, but I'm wearing my headphones, so it's not actually turning on, which is great.
And then, of course, this is the same scene where Hopper is killed by the White Cloaks, which leads to Perrin's blood rage. And... everything happens for there, but we don't see Elias again until much later, where I forget which book, maybe you remember, but where Perrin has his military camp in Geldon.
Yeah, as I said, I think it's either the end of 7 or sometime during the beginning of 8, because that is... basically, I mean, he's in so little of 8 because it's not his his story. 9 is his story. Wait, is it 9 and 10?
For what, Failgate? Fuck.
Yeah, Failgate is Winter's Heart, which is...
Is it all resolved in Winter's Heart? I felt like it was like across 2 books. That most of it was done in Winter's Heart, but it wasn't resolved until... the next
Path of Daggers.
Yes. I think.
That's where it shows up. That's where Elias shows up.
Oh, not in, where it's all in Perrin's camp in Geldon.
Yes. Because Perrin has been sent to go and corral Massima. And
through much subversion and misdirection. And isn't this after the fake argument between Rand and Perrin?
Yes, that is correct.
Where only Fael is like, if I didn't know better,
I'd say you were actually mad at each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You almost had me convinced. You broad blacksmith bad boy, you.
Ugh. Sometimes I just want you to smack me around the way Rand smacked you around. Yes! Yes! Even in the absence of Josh, I can still get somebody.
Just inhaled rum. I don't know if that's going to be a good thing or a bad thing.
Hey, it'll get rid of any Rona bacteria.
And I got the vaccine. Well, it was also the Johnson & Johnson one. But I'm also not a pre-menopausal female, so...
Yeah.
Because apparently premenopausal is, like, actually a thing. I don't know this stuff. I'm a guy. I don't have to worry about menopause and periods for myself. Because I was talking to a...
Premenopause is most of your life. You know that, right?
Well, no, this is what I thought. But I was talking to my boss about it. And I mentioned apparently it's only an issue for premenopausal women. And she was like, you know, I'm in that age group. And I'm like, yes. So is everybody that hasn't gone through menopause. And she's like, no, premenopause is actually like, she's like, it's a definitive area where during this time you're considered premenopause. And I'm like, as a guy, that makes no sense to me because until you go.
No, that does make sense, actually. Because basically, if that means that this is your life before menopause, this is menopause, but here's where it, like, the actual thing happens, then this would be premenopause and this would be post. Like, it's where you have, like, menopausal symptoms and whatnot, but you haven't actually had the, like, thing in your body change.
I have That's interesting. No idea. But I was like, I meant it in the purest form of the phrase pre-menopause, before menopause.
No, which not is, just of before, course,
I mean, entirely as before.
You, which, of course, as you and all of our listeners just heard, I also just used the same way when I first heard it.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to say that she's wrong because I would imagine she would know far better than I.
Sure.
Considering I don't know at all. This is another instance where Elias gives Perrin some, what seems like, at least for Perrin, golden advice. That, you know, if he would raise his voice to File every now and again, they would get along much better. And you realize why he says that, because he understands where she's from a bit better than Perrin does. And is like, it's just part of the culture. You should embrace part of it. And Perrin's like, but I am a nice guy. I don't do this. This is wrong.
But my father told me no hit women.
The entire women's circle ever. Would beat my blacksmith ass if I did this.
No, not the entire women's circle. Most of the women's circle would watch and egg on Mistress Luan as she beats the shit out of her.
That is true. That is true. Like Morshad just pointed out again, I know we mentioned earlier, but Elias did get sliced up by a Saldan woman, so... I think he kind of gets it.
I don't think you missed that. Didn't you?
No, we talked about it. Like, I'm saying, like we said earlier.
Oh, yeah.
When Shadi just brought it up in the live chat. Like, yes. That would also lead credence to why Elias would maybe understand a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Elias knows so many things. It's amazing how many things that Elias knows that, like, he's definitely one of those people who, you know, you'll get to a point and you'll be telling a story and he'll be like, oh yeah, I also got sliced up by a Saldan woman once. And Perrin's like, why didn't you tell me this? And he's like, I didn't know you wanted to know. The number of stories that Elias has that he just keeps to himself are a huge number.
Yeah.
But yeah, in the end, Elias doesn't actually do that much else in the books. I mean, honestly, his Eye of the World arc is his sort of biggest, most important thing because he teaches Perrin so much. He, as we've sort of talked about, he sort of instigates the discovery or the Perrin becoming a wolf brother, whatever you want to call it. And then he fucks off. And then next time we see him, he is used as an incredible scout to help find Fael. But in the end, I mean, he does about as much as anybody else.
Yeah, he's like more of a sporadically guiding, but more of just a familiar figure to be there for Perrin.
Yes.
Because even, and this is what I mentioned earlier, that we'd get more into like Elias's dislike of mankind, because we've already met, what was his name? Noam?
No. Noel?
Noel?
Gnome.
No.
Gnome.
starts with an N and ends with an M. But the guy that went Noam, yeah,
Noam, yeah,
that he was a wolf brother but went full wolf.
Yes.
And Perrin is a wolf brother, but he stays full human. And I see Elias as somebody that's in the middle, that he's like very much wolf in many ways and very much human in other ways. I think like the whole, I don't want to be around a bunch of people. I don't want to go into civilization. I want to live out in the wilderness. I want to run. I want to do my thing. Like that's wolf part of Elias, but the still interacting with people, the being, you know, having this overarching sense of I will go where I definitely shouldn't be to fight evil. Wolves, yeah. I think, still would. I'm not saying that they would ignore evil, but
sure. But they are definitely described as more avoidy than go head on in most cases. There are times where they will challenge the shadow head on, but it's definitely 9 times out of 10 they will go around something that is.
I see Elias as more like closer to 50-50. You know, Noam, 0 human, 100% wolf, you know, mentally wise. Elias being like 50-50, and Perrin is like mentally, like he's at most like 30-40% wolf when he chooses to be. Otherwise, he's all human. So
it's interesting because I actually view it a little bit differently. Not by much though. Because there's definitely, the way that I have always read the books, Wolf Brother is kind of like a disorder in some ways. It's not actually, I mean, it's a cool fucking power, and it's, but it's in the way that the book describes it, it actually very much reminds me of sort of a disorder, where Noam spends a lot of time denying it and fighting it and, you know, not accepting it and going against it until it breaks
him. Like unmedicated schizophrenia where the wolf personality full on takes over?
Kind of. And then of course, again, it breaks him. And once he's broken, he can't really be put back together. He just is full wolf and runs off into the wilderness with
those Humpty Dumpty.
Whereas Elias is the other side of that, where he discovered or, you know, became a wolf brother, saw both the benefits and the detractions, sat with it for a little while, fully accepted that this was who he was, and then made conscious decisions about what he was going to do and what he was not going to do.
He also had nowhere else to go. He's like,
that's also true.
Left what has been home for probably the last, you know, at least 10, 20 years, let's say at least. And he's like, where should I go but to the wolves? Oh, where should I go? Oh, where can I go? Seeking a refuge for my long tooth. If you ever grew up with Chris Nims, you know
what that's called. Did you just put my finger in the cat's butthole?
Nah, not at all.
No, it was the wolf's butthole.
It's a wolf,
but Perrin very much seems to me like he's on the journey to becoming Elias, but only because he had help, and that if he hadn't actually, if he had been introduced to the wolves by Elias, but then Elias had just been like fucked off immediately, without trying to help him at all, and then Perrin hadn't, like, you know, learned from a number of people and tried to do the right thing and things like that, then he would have become Gnome, because he was so against being a wolf brother at the beginning and just denied it and denied it and fought it and fought it and fought it. And that it's really only his, you know, belabored acceptance of the wolves that has actually, or of his true nature, if you will, that has actually protected him from becoming now.
Yeah, I just
what
got.
What the fuck did you think?
Yeah, that's what I was about to go in. I got a random mental image of like a dark, like medieval style, like in like bedroom, and Marcus Rutherford as Perrin without like seeing the sensitive bits, just like stark naked, leg hiked up in the corner, pissing on the wall. And like Fael just comes in, just like, what the fuck? rolls up the local like Two Rivers Times and starts beating him on the nose with it.
Oh, I thought Perrin would just turn around as he's doing it and just like, while he's still pissing, just be like, hey, we own this room now.
So tell me, Lord Perrin Golden Eyes, what's your strategy for the expansion of the Two Rivers Domain? We're going to go up to Amadesia. We're going to piss on the Dome of Truth and it'll be ours.
Hey, Lord Perrin Golden Eyes, what's your strategy for conquering this area? Sun-kissed. Lots and lots of sun-kissed.
Have you ever heard the tragedy of R. Kelly? That's our strategy.
Oh, no. No!
One man's tragedy is another man's strategy. Yeah. Minus the little girls. That's fucked up.
As long as Russia doesn't get the pee-pee tapes, we're fine.
Anyway!
Listen, I piss gold. No one pisses more gold than I. GoldenEye is a great game. Go for the N64. So back to Elias.
Indeed. So after he goes ahead and runs around with Perrin and is very helpful, though again, not necessarily right home about helpful. It's not
pretty much
more
the
than
entirety
else.
Of the rest of his story, minus like one part.
He helps save Fael from the Shido. He also helps Gaul find Chiad. And then
Chiad.
And then they leave, obviously, because fuck the Shido, and we don't need to worry about you anymore because you don't have my wife. So they leave. And then
here? This is my wife. I have pissed on her. She is mine. I now pronounce you husband and wolf. You may piss on the bride.
The sad part is I don't want to think that Fael's into that, but part of me absolutely think that Fael's into that. Why do we do this? Why do we do this, Andrew? Fucking why?
Piss on me so I know it's real. I'm sure my roommate just heard me shout, piss on me so I know it's real.
I really hope so.
So whenever I send you a message in 3 days letting you know that I'm homeless, and we'll not be able to record next week. You know
it's okay. You'd find another place quick. You do still have a house in South Carolina, right?
Actually, I got an email from the management company that I'm having rented out that there's a military couple that is very interested in renting it.
Nice. That'd
Speaking
be
very
excellent.
Interested. I'm going to let you talk because food should be here. So I'll be right back.
Cool. Well, then I will finish out Elias's history here. As we all know, at that point, Perrin goes on a little bit of a journey to go find Rand because nobody really knows where he is. This is a weird part where Rand is a few, you know, bananas shy of a bunch. And going a little nuts and really having a little bit of a hard time. And he is dealing with it in a very Randian way by not being around anybody else, thinking that he's protecting them, even though he's not actually protecting them. But they go to find Rand. They They end up finding a White Cloak camp as the White Cloaks have now been basically run out of Amadesia, or at least out of the Stone of Truth. The Dome of Truth, the Stone of Truth, really. I just mixed up the Stone of Tyr and the Dome of Truth at the same time. What a fucking idiot. Anyway, So they've been kind of run out of the Dome of Truth, and they are running around trying to go ahead and put themselves back together. But, you know, they just have to deal with what's going on about the White Cloaks and all of the other problems that they have, going ahead and trying to get back to civilization and Rand and all of their friends and things like that. And in the end, he is actually around for when Perrin does throw away his axe, which is a nice little parallel. I always appreciate that part, where Elias is the one who gives him the advice to throw away the axe when he enjoys it. And he's also basically there when Perrin throws away the axe and then forges Mahalanir so that he can still have a weapon, because he does recognize that he will still need one in the future, but he doesn't want it to be the axe anymore. He doesn't want it to be a tool almost exclusively made for killing. He wants it to be something that can create and also protect him when he needs it to. Then he actually fucks off again for a little while. He is basically sent to round up the wolves. I mean, he's not actually sent. He kind of takes it a little bit upon himself, but he does have a conversation with Perrin about it where Perrin is all for it. So while it's definitely not an order, Perrin is like, yeah, no, definitely fucking do that. Have fun. Be good. Don't do anything I wouldn't do. Come back with lots of wolves. Go to the Blight. Meet us there. Fuck up some Trollocs. And that's where he is, because he does participate in Tarmogoyf with the wolves. He does not have a whole lot of screen time in Tarmogoyf, but he is definitely mentioned. And according to the wiki, which does do a relatively good job of pulling things out of the book that are super minor details, or by finding things that are outside of the book about things like this, he is purported to be still alive. So presumably he does make it out of the last battle. Even though, again, we don't really see him after. He is not necessarily, you know, importantly present for anything, but he is presumably alive.
This is true. Parallels for Elias to Real World. Elias may be inspired by, so E-L-Y-A-S may be inspired by E-L-I-A-S, which is the Latin transliteration, that's a new word, I've heard it before, of the Hebrew name Elijah. And in Slavic countries, this figure became a substitute for the god Perun, one of the main sources, presumably for the character of Perrin, indicating a merging of the identities of the two wolf brothers over time. So, which could kind of explain, you know, maybe some of the inspiration of Elias kind of functioning in part as like Perrin's shadow, but like a light version of the shadow.
Yeah.
Like, I don't mean like the good guys versus the bad guys, light version of the shadow, but like a light version, like a trial version of an app. It doesn't quite have all the features, but it's still very useful and handy.
Yes, indeed. I actually like to think that, Perrin and Elias together go end up founding Rome. And one of them goes by Remus and the other goes by Romulus. And they are very successful in their endeavors until, you know, Rome eventually falls.
Every time I hear Remus, all I can think about is Harry Potter.
You fuck.
You sold out Lily and James Potter. I didn't mean to.
The map was lying. The map never lies. I thought so too, Harry, until you said you saw him on the map.
Until you saw Pettigrew. All that was found was a finger. Or he's missing a finger. Curiously long life for a common garden rat.
What a great scene. I really do like that scene.
Netflix.com.
Oh, Netflix, you're still...
Harry Potter's on Netflix, but...
Netflix? Actually, I'm pretty sure they're on HBO, which no, I don't... I'm not necessarily saying that you have, but I think that's the one that they're on right now. Or you could be me and have gotten the 8-movie set on Blu-ray at some point for Christmas. Or you could just...
Go to fmoviesf.net.
Mm-hmm.
Oh wait, that's not a website anymore.
You can go take what you want and give nothing back.
Take from them everything. But give them nothing.
I have a very particular set of skills. Set of skills that make me a nightmare to subscription services like yourself. If you deny me this pleasure, I will find it, and I will watch it.
Oh, good. JonTron's back. Did you know that?
I don't know what that is.
JonTron, the YouTuber? He was like famous for the
I know that making name.
The Flex Seal video.
Oh yeah.
Where was he? Yeah. I don't know. He took a hiatus. I didn't look that much into it, but he posted a video like a day, maybe 2 days ago now. Just nice. Posted today. He's
cool.
He's taken after the Bajan Mahal and he's gained some weight.
Aww. I thought you were
No, I'm losing weight, but he's good. Closer to good, me good. Than good. He is to
That's what I thought. I just wanted to make sure.
You scrawny malnourished fucks.
Oh, I am definitely not scrawny. I have I may not have as much as other people. I'm not trying to say that, but I definitely have more cushion for the pushing than I necessarily want.
You're goddamn right. By the first part.
But anyway, last thoughts on Elias. Andrew, what do you think?
I think he's a really cool character. I see him as like a character idea that Robert Jordan liked too much to get rid of, but not something, not a character design that was so... That he could figure out necessarily how to integrate into the story in like a consistent basis. Because you kind of, like we said earlier, like jokingly, but I think it's a fair assessment of Elias. You have Daniel Boone meets Duck Dynasty meets, you know, common human decency, you know, desire for the greater
good. Or Trey Parker and Matt Stone, depending.
I don't know either of those names, so sure.
That's creators of South Park.
Oh, yeah.
Stop telling us we don't like people. We don't like people equally.
Yeah.
Fuck our people.
But I really like him as a character. I really like what he does and how he adds to Perrin's story. Mm-hmm. I could also see them combining Noam and Elias and Perrin at some point playing into the top 10 anime redemption arcs for Noam. You know, bring him back from the brink of, I'm a wolf. Sir, you have no fur, and I can see your balls. And your penis. And it is not a retractable red rocket.
There it is. I was waiting for it. Hey.
Oh, look. This plushie comes with lipstick.
Buddy, I can see that you are trying to hold a red rod Terran Grial up so that it makes it look like your penis is a red rocket. But it's not. I can see it. Oh, God.
Why I can't believe my this? First time was with a red rod Terran Grial. Looking at you, Elaine. Looking at you.
Here's looking at you, kid.
Not in that context. Not in that context.
Okay.
I wouldn't call anybody kid in that context.
I mean, she is still kind of a kid.
Well, yeah, they're all still...
I mean, she's not a minor. She's still kind of a kid.
Rand is still, as my dad would say, young, dumb, and full of cum.
Yep.
I don't know why my dad says that, but...
You might want to ask him sometimes.
I don't.
Damn.
I don't ask those questions because generally I asked one time and the answer was not something I ever wanted to hear. Fair enough. I'm also the kid that was smart enough at like 9 years old. Whenever, so we went out and we got party supplies and we came back and my aunt was down for the down and she was like, did you get balloons? And my dad was like, yeah, but they need a very special job to work. And my 8-year-old brain was like, you blow into balloons to blow them up. And he said, job must be a blow job. Not knowing what it actually was.
Great.
So
I like that story. That's a cute little Andrew story.
I still feel embarrassed about it for some reason. Though it's more funny than embarrassing now.
Yeah, it is more funny. When it's definitely funny for everyone around. I told
my aunt and my parents that the balloons needed a blowjob.
I like it.
But yeah, speaking of fun facts, I think we have squeezed all we can out of the fun facts of Elias. Oh, Morshadi reminds me. I didn't forget that I currently live in North Carolina, so that's not what I was reminded of. But speaking of 420, North Carolina has introduced legislation to be considered for the legalization both medicinally and recreationally of the marijuana.
Yay! So good for you guys.
We will see how that goes.
And given obviously, it still needs to be voted on, but... the introduction is already a win.
We'll see how it goes, given that I do not claim North Carolina residency as of this moment. So,
but you can.
Oh, yeah.
Once they do, you can go ahead and do whatever the fuck you want.
Well, I'll probably need to anyway, considering that I'm renting out my house. I probably shouldn't claim it as my primary residence, which doubles my taxes in South Carolina because it now becomes known as a luxury property.
Yeah.
There's nothing luxurious about that. It's just a fucking house. Fuck you.
Right.
But, yeah, so I think we've talked about Elias as much as we can. So in the famous words of Bob Barker, don't forget to spay and neuter your pets,
especially if they're wolves.
I mean, I would sedate them first for sure.
Oh, I wasn't suggesting you don't.
That's that's expert mode for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, you lose a hand.
Where are my balls, Summer?
But yeah, so tell us in comments on the podcast or in the comment section down on the YouTube, because I can't remember what the I think it's still like comments on the podcast itself as it is, but tell us what you think about Elias. Do you think he gets as much love as he deserves? And we're not talking about Rena. Or do you think that he is largely underrated? What is your favorite thing about Elias? And as always, feel free to let us know what other background-esque, you know, basically not main character, that you think we should do a background breakdown on. And don't just say all of them. Because we agree with you for the most part. However, we have to decide what order to do some of them in. And we're only doing, right now, currently, we do like one of these a month. So,
just about, yeah.
This will be the one for May, whenever it comes out. It's gonna be May. But we're gonna need one for June and July. We might already have one for June.
We do.
Wow.
I won't tell you who it is because we're still on the episode, but
I could look at the schedule and see, but I'm too lazy to open it back up. Anyway. So after you finish, or even if you're just listening to the episode while you're listening, make sure that you go over and you check out thegrapelight.com. It's a fantastic website where you can find a list of a whole bunch of other Wheel of Time-oriented content creators, from YouTubers, podcast artists, musicians, all kinds of amazing content creators in a neat, fancy list. When you go over there and check it out, make sure you tell them the Black Tower Podcast sent you. It doesn't give us like money or cash back, but Nablus might pat us on the head and say, good job.
All right, guys. Well, as we all know here at the Black Tower podcast, not everything that is touched by the shadow is lost. And that is totally true for thegreatblight.com. Now, Nablus and his team have done an amazing job of going ahead and putting this together, and it is possibly the greatest resource for those of us here in the Wheel of Time community. First off, you have this awesome homepage with posts from a bunch of your favorites. Go and find, you can go and check out new things that you've never seen before, keep up to date on content creators that you already follow, and just go ahead and dip as many of your toes or your entire foot as you want into all of the different things that are going on. Now, also here, there is probably the best list of content creators. There's YouTubers, podcasters, artists, musicians, just about everything you could want. And if you don't see your favorite content creator there, that's fine. There is an application included in the site to go ahead and make sure that your favorite content creator is part of it. Just encourage them to fill out the application and Nablus will be in touch. Now, after you've gone ahead and checked that out, you're going to want to pop over to the ever-expanding library here at the Great Blight, because it is something particularly special. Now, I don't know how many times I've gone ahead and joined a fandom only to find out halfway through my first read, looking up a character, that they die in the second to last book, which sucks. It always is very disappointing when you can't look up anything interesting about what you've read for fear of things that you haven't read yet. But they've fixed the problem over at thegreatblight.com. It is a spoiler-free wiki. That's right. That means that if you've only read up to Path of Daggers and you really want to find out what in the world you missed about Egwene because there's something you just don't understand, or if you want to get more information about Rand because you think he's super cool, you don't need to read past Path of Daggers, and it's not going to ruin you on A Memory of Light before you've gotten there. You'll know exactly where to stop. You'll know exactly where you are. And once you're done with that, make sure that you go ahead and help the site out, the content creators out, everything like that, with the beta nature of it. Up here at the top, you're going to see a problem, have a suggestion button. That is specifically for if you have any issues with the site or if you have any feedback. It's only something that we can make better with feedback and with help from the community. So come on down, check it out. Grab a couple of our videos or grab a couple of our podcasts, and we'd love to see you there.
So once you have finished with thegreatblight.com, make sure you go over and check out another one of our partners that is very near and dear to our heart. That is, of course, New Creations by Jen. It is your one-stop shop for the Frosty Mug Society, as well as a ton of other fantastic merch. And we're going to tell you more about it right here in this plug.
Everybody loves merchandise, and one of the best possible places to go and get yourself some really dope Wheel of Time inspired and themed merchandise is, of course, newcreationsbyjen.com. So whenever you go to newcreationsbyjen.com, whether you're looking for just Wheel of Time inspired stuff or not, you can find all kinds of really cool merchandise and goodie opportunities, all the way from gifts for your family, friends, significant others, whoever have you, newborns, children, toddlers, women, men, adults, anybody that wants anything, you can find something for them for sure on New Creations by Jen. Now, most of you listening are going to be looking for Wheel of Time stuff. And the easiest way to find it is to go to the catalog section on New Creations by Jen, where you can see the groups of stuff for us at Black Tower Podcast, Malkier Talks, Talk Around Riyadh, Will Reads, The Will Weaves, and Weekly Will News. So you can find all of this stuff, and you can browse and look at all the different kinds of things that each content creator that is a part of New Creations by Jen has taken and asked Jen and Rob to put up on the site. Obviously, we're going to use ours as an example so that you can go in and look at Black Tower Podcast stuff, because we are the Black Tower Podcast. So if you go on, you can get our Two Rivers Sniper shot glass as well as Two Rivers Sniper shirt. It's available on a red shirt. So you can go on and you can get our Frosty mug, which is one of the Frosty Mug collectibles. Each Wheel of Time content creator that is on New Creations by Jen has a Frosty Mug that you can go in and get for yourself. So after you get ours, make sure you get the others and get the entire set and join the Frosty Mug Society. Of course, there's more than just Frosty mugs and little shot glasses, and there's plenty of different kinds of shirts with different designs on them from all of the different content creators. Of course, you can find ours where you can get our logo in black and white on a shirt. I have one myself. It's fantastic and I love it. Jen and Rob do an amazing job of working with not only their customers, but the content creators that they help support with this amazing and very good quality merchandise. So if you have not headed over to New Creations by Jen and gotten yourself something dope, make sure you go and do that. Again, it's newcreationsbyjen.com. But yeah, I think that'll do it for this episode. Sadly, Josh could not join us here physically, but his spirit is here and it hasn't stopped screaming in my ear and rattling chains.
That sounds like a problem.
Hey, you know, another day in the life. Oh, what was that show? Ghost Whisperer. That was such a good show.
You do know that that's just tinnitus, right?
I actually do have tinnitus. Did you know that?
I know. That was kind of a joke.
Who am I joking?
It's not just
in the military. Of course I have tinnitus.
It's not just apropos. It's also topical.
And wildly accurate.
Guys, hit the subscribe button, please. We absolutely appreciate every subscriber who joins us on our channel. If you like what we're doing as far as videos, whether it be the BTP Reacts, whether it be our actual podcast videos, whether it be the live streams, whether it be the YouTuber panels, anything like that, go ahead and subscribe so that you can see all of that fun stuff that we will continue to bring you. We hope that you like what you're seeing. And if you guys have a suggestion for something that you'd like to see, never be afraid or, you know, hesitant or anything like that to go ahead and throw it in the comments or send us a private message or, you know, shoot us a thing on Twitter or anything like that. Because we do actually look through this stuff pretty regularly. We do actually notice when you guys say stuff and we would love to hear it. Also, if you want to hear or see everything that we put out, do make sure to hit the bell so that you get notified when we put out a new video. If you don't want to hit the bell, that's also totally fine. You can look at it whenever you get around to it, but that will let you know when we pop out another video.
If I remember, I will edit this out because I've already found where I can insert a little animated thing for subscribing and clicking the bell that I'll insert at a random point. And I made another one for Twitter. So
nice.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I did Excellent. Things.
You did things. You did a lot of things this week.
Apparently.
But yeah.
Who are you? Who am I? Where am I? What is this?
Who's Bucky?
But we love you all. We thank you so much for all of your support, all of your feedback, just being here, just watching or listening or even clicking the subscribe button, even on accident or following us, whatever. Helps out tremendously with our metrics and ultimately results in more people being exposed, which generates more stuff for us to be able to either have cool ideas to do things for you guys or to physically be able to do cool stuff. The only reason we're able to do the new stuff we do with Patreon now is because of you guys and the interest that you show and the support you show for the podcast. So we may not say it literally every day, though sometimes it feels like we do, but we do appreciate it to an unstatable degree. So it's a ton of fun. It makes us learn new things, like how to put an animated YouTube subscribe and click the bell thing somewhere in the video, like those pro people do that you actually love.
And also those people that you don't love at all, but still do it, like PewDiePie.
Yeah. I liked his older stuff better.
But, I just threw out a YouTuber name. I didn't actually mean to call anybody out specifically.
I mean, the amount of coverage we would get if PewDiePie noticed and started like saying shit about us, like,
should we start beef with with a YouTuber. Let's do it. Yeah, let's start beef with a YouTuber.
You know, it has been far too long.
Let's not do it. I don't want to start beef with anybody.
It can't be legit beef. It has to be like jokey beef.
Jerky beef?
No, jokey.
Oh, okay.
It's the same as
jerky. I'm clearly very hungry.
It's just painted like a clown.
Do I look funny to you? Am I funny? Am I funny like haha? Funny like a clown?
But anyway, thank you guys. Thank you all so much for listening, watching, whatever you do. We both are incredibly thankful and incredibly apologetic for all of it.
Simultaneously.
But however, apology doesn't equal us taking any of it back. So
agreed.
We are who we are. Of course, Josh sends his love. But to wrap these things up, preferably more secure than a gas station condom, I have been your Bajan Mihail Andrew.
And I have been your Amin Khan Mihail Daniel. And again, from all of us here at the Black Tower, thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. We hope that you are having a lovely morning, a lovely afternoon, whatever it is for you. In case we don't see you again, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Always running the show.